What up, fam? On this episode of the Snapback Sports Pod, we discuss the new Snapback Kitchen. Stay tuned on details for that. Hockey has had 72 hours. Here are our thoughts on if we've loved or hated that. No Aaron Rodgers update, but the MLB may in fact be dead. In the second half of the pod, we discuss in detail the second half or second third of the NBA regular season.
Snapback fam, new app.
The Baltimore Ravens select Lamar Jackson.
I'm a Raven. He's on all year, every year.
Jackson takes it himself.
Oh, he broke his ankles.
A play. Oh, blocked by James.
Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
For the Philadelphia Eagles, the long drought is over.
Bryant put the jumper.
What's up, fam? I'm your host, Jack Settleman. Joining me today, and as always, my co-host and longtime best friend, Abe Granoff.
Sworn enemy.
Sworn enemy. Facts. 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 Facts.
Sworn enemy, as we've... Someone went on the internet, wanted... Why are every podcast two best friends? Like, I want two bitches that yell at each other the entire time. Well, whoever tweeted that, this is that podcast. I know Jack every time is like, oh, best friend, best friend. No! We fucking hate each other. That's what we do. But even though I do hate your guts, I need to bring something up with you because deep down, obviously, you're my boy and I'm looking out for you.
Right.
You have been posting in the last 72 hours, let's call it. Maybe, I don't know, 4 days and hours is 196 hours.
There you go.
Quick math. In the last 96 hours, you have been posting a ton of hockey content, which only means one singular thing. Why is Jack looking at hockey? Jack, stop fucking betting on regular season hockey.
All right, time out.
There is a direct correlation.
That's incorrect.
There is a direct correlation between the amount of money that you wager on hockey to the amount of posts that are posted on the Snapback. That's not. You never post hockey. Jack, I watch every single post on your page. Every single one. And I also am in a bunch of texting groups with you where you communicate what you're betting on, what you're watching at the time. And no. And listen, dude, it's not me making this shit up. It's data.
No.
It's literally data.
We discussed this on last episodes podcast. There's only hockey right now. There's nothing else besides that and college basketball. So I have to fill the posting cadence with something. And so I'm giving hockey. People are enjoying the hockey content. With that being said,
there is a direct correlation between the amount of hockey you bet on and the amount of hockey you post.
No.
Jack, out of all of the bets that you've placed in the last 96 hours, what percentage of them are NHL?
I've placed three wagers in the last 96 hours. Two of them were hockey bets. Both were just last night. One was because our
Cap.
What do you mean?
You had some bullshit on Monday night with Eagleson and the Leafs.
Eagleson for underdog. But that's because Eagleson thought he was going to give me a winner. It was a loser. Because the Leafs can't even score.
You were referring to hockey teams, not even the Capitals, other hockey teams and texting groups as we. Like, can we get a goal?
Well, I mean, one of my buddies suggested the Panthers. They blew a two-goal lead at home to a team on a four-game losing streak. But the fam gave me the Blue Jackets for the upset of the night. Abe, they won last night in overtime, plus 220. I mean, you don't find plus 220 winners everywhere. So I, of course, thanked the fam and said, look, you guys claim you know hockey. Let's hear what you're on tonight. So
I was going to say, this is the way if I can tell that you have a problem. Did you look at the NHL odds this morning prior to having breakfast?
I didn't. I just used...
Cap.
I just used...
I know how this works, dude.
I wrote the post.
When you were initially... I used to... During the heart of COVID...
You have it wrong.
No, I don't, Jack. I'm coming from personal experience. During the heart of COVID, I was betting on a shit ton of Russian ping pong.
I would
but this is you in hockey form.
This is...
I would wake up in the morning, turn over, and say, what Russian hockey
that's
match
not
plays
me. That's
the earliest.
That's
day.
Not me.
No, it is.
That's
it's fine.
Not me. I've placed two.
The first step is denial.
I've placed two $50 hockey bets. Sue me. One hit. I'm up. I'm sorry. So today I wrote, all right, you beautiful people, give me the upset of the
night.
Me,
no.
Now.
That's what you wrote. That's what you typed out. But in your head, it was like, all right, fam, I need my fix. What do we got?
Yes. And look, I may be going a little over the top because I wrote, also, throw in a goal scorer from that team.
I'm posting content. No, I just need right. advice because I'm desperate to gamble on something.
All right. You know what we're going to do? We're going to save this for the end, and Eagleson can actually give us some context. We're quickly learning Eagleson's terrible at gambling, which is okay because he just turned 18 like 2 days ago. But he wants to learn, and he can help us out. But I do have over 450 responses with upsets and goal scorers. So we'll siphon through that data at the end of the pod. In the meantime,
I think for tomorrow's post, you guys have to say, hey, fam, I eat breakfast at 10 a.m. Please have your upsets and goal scorers prior to then.
You're a sicko.
You're the sicko. But, you're calling me a sicko. You're betting on regular season NHL hockey.
There's money to be made. I'm a man for that. Funnier sicko story. I'm on the Twitter sphere earlier today, and someone posted like the Lamar versus Deshaun Watson Clemson Louisville game that was like epic, 50 points on each side being scored, and was like, how could anyone have watched this game and drafted Mitchell Trubisky? Which is a very fair comment. So I went a little dumpster diving, aka through the replies. And I have a new...
Correct me if I'm wrong, but Mitchell Trubisky's played in the same amount of divisional football games that Lamar Jackson has.
So, incorrect, unfortunately. Two to one. But I'm glad you bring that up because something that...
No, I said divisional. I said divisional round.
We've played in two divisional games.
Oh, you had a bye, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So he's played in more wild cards.
No, I guess that would be the same. I think he's 0-1. Or, no, did he win a playoff game?
Double doink, we beat him. Was that his only game?
I thought that was his only game, unless they won a game prior. Eagleson, find that data. Anyways, I was cracking up because this sicko wrote, like, someone was like, yeah, Watson and Lamar so much better. And this guy's like, well, explain to me how Mitch Trubisky has more playoff wins than Lamar Jackson, and Deshaun Watson didn't even play this year. And Watson aside, in my head, I'm like, huh? And the first reply is like, please don't tell me you're counting this man sitting on the bench this year for Josh Allen as playoff wins.
It's experience.
It's experience. So
it's experience.
In case we ever need that, Abe, we can definitely utilize that against our least favorite quarterbacks.
I like Mitch.
Crazy. That was crazy. All right, so you watch all the posts. You see that we've got new updates on Snapback Kitchen, which I think is going to be the official name. Now, everything's still in its beta form.
I was going to say, shit. Like, there's so many directions you can go for this, and you just chose the most vanilla one.
Well, so the Snapback Kitchen is just going to be the overall branding. From there, that's where we get to have some fun. So, for example, we can name meals after players or memes or jokes. We can create different combinations.
Ooh, barbecue chicken platter should be the Michael Porter Jr. special.
Exactly. So that's where we're going to have a lot of fun with this stuff. We're also going to do, if you buy a meal or if you order from the restaurant throughout the NBA playoffs, you'll be entered into a raffle to actually go to an NBA Finals game. Fun shit like that. So,
I did see, strictly to start, chicken tenders and mac and cheese.
Yeah, so chicken
tenders. So Snapback Fam supports high cholesterol?
So chicken and mac and cheese will be like the two core elements. From there, what that could become, chicken tenders with all different types of sauces, buffalo, barbecue, honey mustard. We can create our own custom sauces, which could be fun. Get you in the lab a little R&D. We're going to have an in-person R&D session, so you're going to have to make your way out to New York.
Did you just invite a bunch of people out to dinner?
No, it's actually in the Ghost Kitchen's R&D.
I won't be cooking.
You won't be cooking, that's for sure.
Cool.
So we'll have that. You can also have chicken tender sandwiches. You could do mac and cheese bowls with chicken tenders in them. We're also going to do grilled chicken.
I had it first.
We're going to do grilled chicken as well.
I was going to say, not a fan of the gains.
And then we're thinking specialty ones. So, like, fried mac and cheese bites. We're thinking chicken and French toast, like a little variation from chicken and waffle. I don't know. Try it out.
Fun fact, I've never had chicken and waffles. And that's not to say I'm against it. I've never eaten chicken and waffles before. So, it kind of, everyone stands by it. It's great. And I'm not denying that. Just like, it always kind of bugged me out and I never have ordered it.
Even though you can imagine how good it is. Like,
oh, everyone, I'm not denying. I'm not that asshole like I am with like a show like Game of Thrones where point I just put my foot down.
Or like pickles on a pizza. Like, not like that.
We're not giving that attention.
And that will not be on the menu. So I'm throwing this out to the audience, throwing it out to you because I want you guys to be a big part of the process, obviously. And we're flexible and we can add down the line. We can move into burgers. We can move into other items.
I was going to say, okay, I'm your friend to give you constructive criticism. Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat things for you. As someone who's well-versed in food.
Right.
This is a delivery service, correct?
Correct.
There are certain foods out there that are fantastic to order at a restaurant. Calamari, French onion soup, amongst many others. However, some of those foods are fantastic in the restaurant, but they don't travel well, meaning they dry out, the fry gets like soggy and everything. Chicken tenders is one of those foods where it's great when you're at the restaurant because it's fresh, but it becomes a little cold. The breading doesn't become as crisp. That's all. I just don't think that you really considered all aspects.
Well, we consider. So what food does travel well, in your opinion?
Like you're talking like a bar food type thing?
No, just in general, like what type of food travels well?
I think wings travel well.
I mean, you can make the same. Wings and chicken tenders are like fairly
similar. No, the one's fried, one's like breaded. It's different. It's different. Wings travel well. Nachos do not travel well, obviously. Calamari does not travel well.
Like pizza sometimes travels well if it's the official, but like you Uber Eats that and sometimes it's cold by the time it gets there, it's floppy.
There's different size of arguments for all food, but I just want you to be careful when you're picking new menu items. Does this travel well? Because you're not going to be able to go into a Snapback kitchen and pick this food up or eat it in house. You need to take all of that into consideration. And you're lucky to have such a wise food mind at your disposal as you do me, right? As long as you pay me my rate,
right? And we've put aside marketing budget for you and other costs.
Glizzies travel well, I'm sure.
I know, that's the thing. You can't start with hot dogs because like the general population doesn't like, when I ordered a hot dog the other night, I posted my Instagram story, I have multiple people respond, I've never had a hot dog, not at a barbecue or not in a stadium, which goes
to
show.
That's your loss.
Right. It's absolutely your loss.
Sorry to hear.
But, like, it is fair. I don't see a lot of people just ordering hot dog, papaya dogs, you know, from Uber Eats and Grubhub.
Yeah. But have they had the opportunity? I don't know where you can order a hot dog, like, just randomly.
That's true. Well, that was another reason why we landed on this as our starting point. A lot of data shows chicken tenders / chicken, and then actually mac and cheese is like a huge category that people are always requesting. So there's a lot of different combos. They go great together. It kind of fits like stuff I like. One of the things we want to get towards is like stadium foods, almost like capturing some of the stuff we've got in the stadiums, those cool creations, and replicating them. But this is just phase one. I mean, we're going to do fun shit with it. So I'm excited to have you on board. I'll bring you on as an official advisor, potentially. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, you can contact my people.
I will.
I don't have people.
72 hours of hockey. So you were making fun of me that I'm posting all this hockey stuff, but it was the only content on the web. So it was really...
You don't follow the right people.
It's really I mean, look, there's stuff in between, but when in the live window where traditionally we hang out, that's the stuff that was going on. And like,
not that great of a sport.
Nah, it's just like the storylines, like I was trying to get into them a little. Number 22 scored on 2-2-2-2-2. That was fun for like half a second. Panthers blew a big lead. It's funny when the Leafs lose, but like, nothing huge. So unfortunately, it's probably a stock down for hockey.
I mean, listen, 72 hours of hockey is about 71 hours and 59 minutes on a weekly basis. Too much hockey. You know how we do hockey on this podcast. I've thoroughly been enjoying my time off without sports. I watched the Kanye documentary. Absolutely sick. I'm very much against Kanye in 2022. He's just like annoying, but I grew up loving him. And this documentary is fucking awesome. Absolutely awesome. Just all live footage. I've been reading a little bit. I think I'm becoming like a good person. I think this James Harden stuff is really... I did have a moment in time yesterday where I watched Willie Cauley-Stein highlights on YouTube for 10 minutes because the Sixers signed him to a 10-day contract. So that was a little bit of a low point. But hey, what's a lower point? People may argue watching regular season hockey and betting on it is lower than watching Willie Cauley-Stein highlights on YouTube. No.
Willie Cauley-Stein highlights is about as low as we can go.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if any of the goal scorers or upsets happen tonight, and we'll see how you feel.
You also said you were going to get Derek Favors. So how do you feel about Willie Cauley-Stein?
It's a 10-day. I don't know if he's the official buyout guy, but he has neck tattoos. I've been on the record saying you don't fuck with someone who has neck tattoos. Sure. You never do. So from an intimidation standpoint, I like it. Can he catch, dunk, and roll to the basket? I don't know. I didn't get enough data in my 10 minutes of YouTube highlights because, as you can imagine, Willie Cauley-Stein didn't play that much everywhere he's been. But it doesn't matter, man. We've got James and Joel. I don't care about anything else.
J&J, one shot. You know the deal. Speaking of shots, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers goes on the Pat McAfee show. He thanks the whole organization. He thanks his ex-fiance. He's like his Tuesday spot with McAfee.
Let's stop there. What a weird move to publicly thank your ex on a social media platform.
He was coming off like a 12-day cleanse. Like, I don't really understand this guy. He's an interesting one.
He's so fucking annoying. But at the same time, like, do I respect him for waking up on Tuesday morning and saying, you know what, let's fuck with the whole world for a little bit? Yeah,
that
I do respect
that. That we do.
We do respect that. But when it comes from you meaning Aaron Rodgers, it gets old and annoying. And I texted you. I was like, when he posted that Instagram, we woke up and he's going on the McAfee show. I was like, is he about to announce he's leaving the Packers or is he just being annoying? And you said both, which is true. And then he gets on the show and 135,000 people are live watching the show. And then within the first 5 minutes, he goes, yeah, I'm not announcing my future, blah, 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 blah. And like 40,000 people drop, including myself, drop from the chat.
As if you wouldn't have seen what he said like 8 minutes
later.
Yeah,
as if people weren't live tweeting the stream. I was like, you know what? I'm working. I have this extra screen. I never watch Pat McAfee show. Yeah. Let me throw it on.
Pat's great. Pat's really, he's incredible.
Yeah, you know what bugs me out? That he stands
the sleeveless, like it's all part of his brand.
He's like is he like the other Manning brother to the Pauls? Even though he's successful, people just like, he gives me Jake Logan Paul vibes.
Really?
Maybe.
I mean,
that's
he does the WWE
white, blonde
thing. he knows the headlines, like he's good at that, but he hasn't like ruined his rep and his brand. Like a lot of those guys, you know, like Logan and Jake will go to the extremes for a
like
headline.
I guess Logan and Jake have way more haters percentage wise to their total following than
Pat's probably the most beloved of.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think so. He was a Barstool guy.
Yeah, but he's also lost that kind of touch with them and made his own thing. So no Aaron Rodgers update for you, and no update from the MLB. I mean, you joked, actually, you were probably pretty serious about it when you said this during COVID, that the MLB is going to die. Like, if they just said, oh, we didn't come to an agreement, no MLB season this year, would that, like, shock you? And would anyone give a fuck?
Yeah, it would shock me for the sole reason that there's millions of dollars on the table and like
billions of dollars.
You never know. It's MLB. Billions of dollars on the table. And at the end of the day, like you would think that billionaire owners don't necessarily care about how much money they're bringing in. They just want to bring in something.
Right.
And maybe they'll give in to some of these asks that the players are asking for. But then again, you would think that that would have happened by now. So, like, out of all sports, it seems like MLB owners are the biggest group of owners that don't give a fuck about their sport. And I respect that as well. Like, if you're money driven and don't give a shit about, I guess, your employees, like, you're an asshole. But respect for standing on a stand on a tree that everyone wants to throw tomatoes at you for. Would anyone give a crap? I want to say no. And I think the general consensus, if you asked people right now, was no. But when we move to June, July, August, there is a large group of the MLB diehards will always care, of right? course. They want their baseball. But there is a group of MLB casuals, and I'm not even considering myself a casual. A casual is someone that'll turn on Sunday Night Baseball because it's on TV. I'll only turn it on if it's the Phillies, and even then, I'm not totally sure I'm going to turn it on. But there's a group of casuals that are like, their whole summer, like, they don't give a shit about golf. They don't give a shit about tennis. Like, baseball is their summer. So I do think people will care, but it won't make nearly as much of a splash as if the NBA or NFL right. stopped, which yeah. is which is obvious because of where they rank in the power rankings. But I predicted 2 years ago, half as a joke, half serious, because that's what I do. Because if I'm wrong, I can say it was a joke. And if I'm right, I can say it was serious. It's just being smart journalism. I predicted like 2 years ago that the MLB would cease to exist. I'm on to something.
It's not far off.
I'm on to something.
Like, if they can't come to an agreement, it's such a weird leveraging. Like, I don't even know what they're fighting about. They say they're not close on anything. They have like a week to prevent a lockout and a season suspension.
They're locked out right now.
To prevent whatever, the season not starting on time. I would almost 0.0. I will zero. There's no way they're getting anything done based off of the two tweets I've seen of this shit over the last few weeks.
Did you just 0.00 chance there being an MLB season this year?
No. It's starting on time.
Oh, that's already confirmed.
No, it's not. They could still start on. It's just spring training's delayed.
So what? It's supposed to start like probably April. In 5 weeks?
Yeah.
Four and a half weeks. Yeah, I mean, listen, I'd be lying if I told you I had notifications on for Jeff Passan. And I was sitting
Speaking
on
pin- of that, though, since I, you know, we know how good I am, how well-sourced I am, I was thinking about entering the baseball diamond, and I'm curious your thoughts.
We have to consult a third party for that. It could be fun to fuck around with the baseball community just because they're like, the people that get bullied the most.
But it's also an opportunity to where there aren't many sources on this. So people might actually be open to me getting into the MLB game.
I agree. I think at some point you have to make a professional headshot.
Okay.
I think you need to suck it up and throw a tie on.
That
might be where you draw the line.
I don't know. Once Murray plays in the month of March, I'm good.
Let's talk about that Jamal Murray tweet from last night.
Yeah.
I am so proud of you, man. You are mastering this Big M Twitter personality. Ever since you got the blue check, you have been perfection in every single one of your tweets. Do I say that? Nobody on Twitter right now with a blue check mark is using as many words as Jack to say as little as possible. It is so you're doing what I do with the MLB. You're covering all your grounds.
All your bases, by the way. You missed that one.
Good one. So it's like last night. I don't know your exact word of your tweet. You can bring it up while I'm saying this.
This is actual information I received, though.
Correct, Jack. But if we're in middle school and there's a book assignment, and you're like, fuck that, I'm not reading that book. And that book is your tweet. And you're like, you know what? I'll read the Spark Notes. The Spark Notes to that tweet are the following. Jamal Murray may play in a month. He also may not. End tweet. That's exactly what you tweeted.
It's Am true, I wrong? Though. No, it's true, though.
You're right. You're right. You are totally right, Jack. You know what? Shaquille O'Neal may play for the Lakers in the next month.
See, that's not true. That's not true. At least I haven't heard that. At least I haven't heard that.
He also may not.
I'm just telling you what
you
I heard.
You are going to be right, no matter what.
But he is going to play in the month of March. Unless he doesn't feel like he's ready.
Why you're doing this perfectly. You are just using your check mark to get people talking.
But to be clear, like, I have had sources on all these tweets.
Sure, Jack.
Some are below my waist. Some are in my DMs. It just depends what a source is. I mean,
nobody's asked you who's your source.
Well, many have, but you can't reveal your sources.
That loses trust.
Right. Exactly.
That loses trust. But you did the same thing with Harden.
Harden was good. That was good intel.
You tweeted, they're talking. Yep. Something might happen or it might not.
No, on the mask mandate stuff.
And you said, if it does happen, it'll happen before the trade deadline.
But closer to the deadline.
So you went out on a limb a little bit. You covered yourself for like, okay, as long as it didn't happen within the next three hours, I'm straight.
And it didn't. And we're good.
You need to write that like little definitions and footnotes at the bottom of your tweets, like down to the wire means anytime after I send this tweet.
Right. So the biggest why I'm kind of upset with the Murray stuff, which once again is highly valuable information that I received from a valuable source, is like I feel like I now almost have like I'm still in this prove it phase where people are like, is this for real? Like, guys, yes, I'm very well sourced. But now do I have to wait till he plays?
Jamal Murray is set to return in the month of March. The team wants Murray to feel comfortable in not rushing the return. See, that's where you fucked up, too. That like, kind of doesn't make sense, that sentence. You got to like have grammar check.
No. It makes sense.
The team wants Murray to feel comfortable in not rushing the return, but the medical staff is ready to clear him in his timetable.
In this timetable.
Yeah, you just said he might play or he might not.
Which is true, Jack.
Which is true. And you're getting the interactions.
I did get the interactions. But to answer my question, do I need to wait? Or can I come? Like, I'm feeling the dopamine. It's firing. Like, I want to be more resourceful here, more sourceful. Like, do I enter the MLB game? Do I wait till Murray plays in March? Like, what's the vibe?
I think you should enter the MLB game just to push your luck. Because if you lose out on the MLB things and you're just people call you out for being a bullshitter.
Yeah.
You're losing MLB.
Right.
Who cares?
No, but there's still a proven
model. There's a prove it model, but like there's also a delete tweet button.
That's true.
There's also a delete tweet button. So it's like you're only like if you miss on this Murray stuff, you're going to miss out. You're going to piss off.
You can't miss on the Murray stuff.
I can't say if you miss on anything because you haven't been able to miss yet. But if you miss on the MLB stuff, one, you could hit delete tweet and nobody can say shit. It's just, I don't know, what are you talking about?
Right.
Two, you're pissing off a very small group of people.
Mm-hmm.
There's not minimal crossover. There's minimal crossover into who trusts NBA sources and who trusts MLB sources.
Right. But I could become the source guy across the leagues.
Like, you have to be plugged.
Yeah.
Are you plugged like that?
I have been so far.
Are you plugged like that? You're definitely not plugged in MLB.
I'll look into my sources. All right, we're going to take a quick break. After the break, NBA is coming back. Thank the Lord. Zion, JJ Redick, Sixers. I don't know. We'll see what we talk about. We'll be right back. All right, fam, we are back. So is the NBA. Thank the Lord, because we do not need any more hockey, Eagleson. You heard? Except we will need some picks later. JJ Redick goes on First Take, which, by the way, is he like a permanent host right now? What's his deal?
Not for, I think he's a weekly, but he'll probably be on the 3 a.m. shift soon enough because of the way that he challenges all of the stars at ESPN. He's like, he makes far too much sense and talks with way too much rationale
for ESPN. And experience.
And experience. And is argumentative enough for ESPN to keep him on a regular time spot. Like, you can't have somebody shitting on Stephen A. for that long every single day. So for the time being, J.J. Redick is, one, doing a fantastic job. Two, hosts here and there on different shows during the day in the morning. And three, will be working the graveyard shift in about a month.
Well, his first comment was on C.J. McCollum apparently came out and said Zion hasn't reached out to him personally. Which is interesting. Like, why wouldn't CJ reach out to Zion? It was like one of those things where, like, phone works both ways. Like, if you really wanted Zion's number, probably.
It's definitely more on. All right. So, first off,
21, though. Like, he's not the leader of the team. He's not around the team.
He's the face of the franchise.
Is he? He's not in the season ticket plan.
Okay. Exactly. Well, okay. First off,
he's going to be since that. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah. Since that's been reported, it's come out and say Zion reached out to CJ after JJ called him out on his bullshit. And then Zion went to go post Pelican highlights that night.
So good.
Zion just took the L and said, yup, JJ was right. Because after all, JJ was Zion's teammate and was speaking from experience and not just pulling shit out of his ass. But I, you know what? I think it's not a phone goes both way thing. It's like, if, forget the NBA, forget basketball, like, you start in, well, not you, because you've been unemployed your whole life. If I were to start a new job, right? Like, do I reach out to people at the company and say, like, random people that have no idea who I am and say, look, I'm so excited to work with you?
All right, time out.
I know that the team knows who CJ is.
Yeah, that's not quite how it works. But think about it. If you were a big hire at a company, for you to reach out to a younger associate, I think that is a plan of action.
Yeah, but don't say younger, because I know you're using physical age as a thing. But in terms of status within the organization, Zion isn't youngest.
But that's the thing. Zion doesn't have any status at the current moment. Like, it feels very Kawhi Spursy. Like, where there's smoke, there's fire. He wants. Now it's a question of, like, is he actually this out of shape? Or does he hate New Orleans that much? And I can't figure that out.
I think you saw Cam and RJ team up. I think that's just what it comes to. I mean, everyone's saying, like, Zion, like, this Ben Simmons shit is, like, changing the league forever. Like, in the next CBA talks, they're going to put something in, like, if you're a max player, like, you have to stay with the team for 2 years or something. But the whole Zion doesn't want to be there thing is irrelevant. Right? I mean, I get that no matter, because of Ben Simmons, if you sign a 4-year deal and a 4-year extension, like, you can still get out of there if you are the right talent and have the right agent who's married to Adele or whatever. But so, like, RJ, I mean, Zion technically can't choose to go anywhere on his own because they own his bird rights. They can match any salary. He's a restricted free agent. He can choose not to sign the max, but when he goes to sign a max with another team, New Orleans can match in and say, nope, you're here to stay. In which case, he could pull a Ben Simmons and be like, that's fine, but I'm not going to play for you guys. So I didn't really think much about the whole CJ Zion thing. The season ticket thing is weird.
Weird, dude.
You put in Jonas Valanciunas?
That means, like, you literally don't feel like you have the right to sell Zion as being a part of the team next season. Not in the future, next season.
Yeah, that's the weirdest part about it. Is that
And the Knicks were selling Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and they weren't even the fucking team. So that goes to show.
They weren't actually.
They moved the sign-up date to before the draft because they sold Zion,
KD. They scammed the fuck out of you.
They skimmed the fuck out of me. And then this year, after we won one playoff game, not a series, one singular game, they raised the ticket prices, and they followed up with this season. They're going to finish 13 in the East. It's embarrassing. But respect to the Pelicans because they're not using Zion to sell the tickets. But that does make me believe, what are they going to do? But have you seen a picture of Zion? Have you heard from Zion's team? Like,
No, the weirdest part about it all is the fact that CJ got traded from Portland, and I found out yesterday or 2 days ago that Zion's been in Portland, like, working out and training and rehabbing. Like, not only did you not reach out to him, but, like, you guys were in the same city.
I don't know. The whole thing.
I know CJ probably didn't know that, and CJ's now trying to say that they have reached out, yada, yada, yada. But CJ aside, this whole non-texting thing, which JJ was spot on. Like, if you're a member of a team and you work within a team, it's your responsibility to make sure that new employees on the team are welcome and feel comfortable, especially if you're one of Zion's. Like, we're not talking about Jose Alvarado. We're talking about Zion. Now, Jose Alvarado wasn't listed on the season ticket package either. But I do think that JJ was spot on in saying that Zion has a responsibility. It's like an unwritten rule in being part of a professional team sport.
I just like, don't get, like, every 2 months, every 6 weeks, we have an update, and it just pushes Zion's foot down the line. Now it's a foot. Originally it was the weight. Now he's, like, what do we think is actually going on here? It's kind of scary.
Someone on Twitter, I think, put it perfectly. They were like, people are making Zion's dad. People talk about Zion. No, they wrote Zion's dad and Kawhi's uncle should be talked about the way LeVar Ball was. Like, they're the ones that are sticking their foot in the door.
Is that who it is? It's Zion's dad that's leaking.
It's somebody in Zion's camp, and like,
does anyone know what Zion's dad's Twitter is?
No.
I mean,
but
I feel
tell
like
you what James Harden's mom's sister's is.
Zion's dad Twitter. Because, like, if I could get source, father of Zion. But isn't Zion like a? That's like, yeah, that's like a. Yeah, I can't find it. If anyone can, Zion Williamson. Last tweet. Let's guess when his last tweet is. What do you think?
What's today? February 23rd. Let's go with Christmas.
Okay, so 216 a week ago, he retweeted CJ McCollum's stats. 29, he retweeted get ready for CJ McCollum in New Orleans. 29, retweeted CJ Pelican suite. 27.
Here's the thing. Did he go back yesterday and retweet those tweets from 29?
Which would just make it even funnier. But no, yeah. he's got like retweets from 120 for Valanciunas. I mean, his Twitter feed is just the Pelicans Twitter feed highlighted. So I have no clue what's going on with him. I don't even know if I want him to be a Knick, but like, I would like to find out.
I'd like to experience if I would want him or not.
Yeah, I'll take the chance. I don't want to give up too much.
I'll take a test drive.
Yeah, you could have Randall. Randall would be good back in New Orleans. They could use
him. Why? Because he's just Zion.
Yeah.
It's the same person.
What else is going on in the MLB?
The MLB?
NBA.
NBA. What is going on in the NBA? We've got quite the battle in the Eastern Conference.
We do.
We've got 2.5 games separating the 1 seed and the 5 seed.
Does it matter? Let's talk about that. Does it matter who gets what seeds? Do we think home court's really going to come and play a factor here?
I'm not saying from a home court perspective, right. From a matchup perspective.
Okay, but in that case, you're not going to be, right, like getting the one could be worse than getting
exactly.
The two.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying like.
So that's where I'm saying it doesn't matter.
It matters.
But you can't control
it. But being the highest seed doesn't matter.
You can't control it either.
Yeah, I mean, I do think home court matters and seeding matters. Like, you want to be a top 4 seed, right?
Top 4, sure. But after that, what matters?
And after that,
and who's
all that matters
and you're
is
saying matchup wise, it depends
the
on actual matchups, not even like we don't want to play this team. Like, some teams will want to play X team and some won't.
Yeah, you don't want to play Philly or Milwaukee. That's the thing.
I mean, Brooklyn could look good.
Yeah, you don't want to play Brooklyn if they can get out of the play-in tournament.
Which I think they will.
2.5 games out of, that's the thing about Brooklyn. So Ramona Shelburne tweeted yesterday or reported that Katie and Ben they're coming back soon. They're more weeks away rather than months. they don't have weeks to get back. And then Sean Marks today said KD's closer to coming back than Ben, which is obviously more important. And when I say come back,
how does that make sense? What the fuck is Ben doing?
It makes no sense. But the whole thing, even I don't believe they're weeks away. I think KD and Ben maybe not. I think KD will play in the next week and a half, and I don't consider that weeks. Brooklyn doesn't have of weeks. No, week. Two
a
weeks.
Week and a half
weeks.
Would be like multiple weeks.
1 week and a half, not 2 weeks. There's
well,
no S in week
a
and a
week
half.
A week and then a half would be in the frame of
nope.
2 weeks. Yes.
Yeah, but it's not 2 weeks.
Anything over 7 days is 2 weeks.
That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
25 hours is 2 days.
That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
I mean, that's just how, that's life. That is literally the definition of these
things. 25 hours is 2 days.
Yeah, it spans.
How many
2 hours
are in 2 days?
48.
So how is 25 equal to 48?
Because if you span 2 days, that's 2 days. That's days. That's days. If I said you were running for 25 hours, you'd be like, all right, that's 2 days.
No.
That's multiple days. It crossed into multiple days. Therefore, anything over 7 days is 8 days.
But my point
is, a week and a half is weeks.
No, it's not. My point is that Brooklyn doesn't have time. Weeks. They're currently 2.5 games out of the play-in spot. They've got...
Wait, where are they? Are they not in the playoffs right now?
They're the 8 seed.
Oh. That, dude, the play-in is... Who cares? As long as they finish 7 or 8, they're fine. You get 2 shots at it.
That's what people said about Golden State, and then they lost to the Lakers
Golden
and Memphis
State.
Last year.
Yeah, okay.
And they didn't do it. My point is, they don't have weeks. You don't want to... If you get into the play-in tournament... That doesn't mean that means you might miss the playoffs. Like, you're not in the playoffs if you're in the play-in tournament. My point is, they're 2.5 games back from, I believe, Boston for the 6th seed to be out of the play-in. They open up with Boston, Milwaukee, Toronto twice, Miami, Boston, Charlotte, Philadelphia. That's between now and March 10th. That would be, that's 2 weeks. That is 2 weeks. If they don't have
that's
Kevin.
That's 2.5 weeks.
That's 15 days. So is that 3 weeks?
It's more like 2, but it is
whatever.
More than 2.
They came out today and said Kyrie might be moving to a full-time employee, which, cool, congrats, he can get his full pay. but even if that happens, that's not happening for, again, weeks. Within that...
So
Boston,
what's your prediction here? What are you saying? Because it sounds like
I'm saying if Brooklyn wants a shot at this thing, they got to get these guys. Ben and KD specifically back now.
They could be the 10. If all three of those guys are playing, they will be in the playoffs.
Say that one more time.
They could get the 10 as long as they are in the play-in, even at the 10. If they have all three of those guys playing,
they'll
four,
go 2-0.
They will go 2-0. And you know that. You know that.
My point is between now and March 10th, 2-3 weeks, whatever you want to call it, they play Boston, Milwaukee. They play all playoff teams in the Eastern Conference. Kyrie can only play half of those games.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them's at Milwaukee. The other's at Philadelphia. Kyrie by himself on the road of those teams? I don't think so.
No, I agree. I think they're going to continue losing. But they could also win 10 in a row once they do get those guys back.
Well, and then they go... They've got a road game at Barclays against the Knicks.
We stink. I don't factor us into anything. I think the
Sunday
Nets,
matinee on national TV against the Nets, that's a Knicks dub.
I think the Nets will be okay in the grand scheme of things. The question is, once they are in, and depending on who they play, like, how do these pieces work together? Like, the chemistry will be all out of whack. That is confirmed. Like, how does Steve Nash fit Ben into a system that they haven't been playing with all year long, and will Ben fold in the playoffs? It's going to be fun. See, I would like, outside of March Madness, like, take all the March Madness games, all 67 of them I think there are now with those play-ins. Take those, put them, like, over the span of, like, a week, right? I'll watch all that. But I could skip the month of March. There's not, like, too much that's going on in the month of March for me.
March 10th.
March 10th. Now, That is the one big event, but that's also in question, you know?
Yeah, Danny Green, March 10th is Brooklyn comes to Philadelphia. Danny Green on his podcast said not only would he be shocked that if Ben played because, quote, he doesn't want to play in Philadelphia, which, duh, but he doesn't think there will be any handshakes between Ben and the Sixers either before or after the game. Now,
but in the tweet you sent me, wasn't there something about Curry and Drummond?
He didn't have a, quote, cordial relationship with them on the Sixers at the time. That could all change when they get
to
Brooklyn.
How could he possibly have a relationship with Drummond? Did they ever, were they
ever? They never played a singular minute together.
Right. So I don't buy that.
I'm still holding it. The only way I'm holding out hope that Ben plays in that game on March 10th is because, like I just said, they need him and Durant back ASAP. Now, would I be surprised if Ben came back before March 10th and then sat down with back tightness on March 10th? No, I wouldn't.
But here's the thing, and I've talked about this before on other spots. This is my genuine belief. If Ben Simmons plays a game before March 10th, because he sat on the bench in the Garden, and he sat on the bench before, right? And so I said, I don't need Ben to play against the Sixers. I really don't. I need him in the building.
I do.
I need him in the building. If he is on the bench, that is enough for me to take a train down and for us to sit down in the front row in the Wells Fargo Center.
If he's on the bench and not playing in the game, we'll lose that game. The crowd won't be into it. They'll be staring at the bench for 48 minutes.
Correct. Correct. And it will be hilarious. So if he plays...
If he plays, we win. If he doesn't, we'll probably lose.
If he plays before March 10th, the only way, and it's a lock, it's a fucking, the biggest 0.0% guarantee of all time is that he will be out for health and safety protocols.
He's vaxxed.
It doesn't matter. Exposure, fucking, he tests positive. You can still, because there's no, you can't avoid going to the game. You can sit out with back tightness, sure. But if you've been on the bench, Abe, there's only one, I mean, the second would be like, fear of life, and the third would be like a family emergency. But outside of the, like, he's gonna fake COVID. He tried doing it for a playoff game.
It is in Ben Simmons' best interest to play in that game on March 10th. Hear me out. Get the monkey off your back. Do it. Because if your first appearance in Wells Fargo Center is in game one of the Eastern Conference semifinals, right, and that's the playoff intensity of the crowd, plus it's their first time getting back to you, that's when shit gets haywire. Get the monkey off your back in a regular season game, understand what it's going to feel like in the playoffs, and then come and watch Dragic take your fourth quarter minutes in the playoffs.
Abe, I don't think it's really come to my mind prior to this moment, but, I mean, we're sports fans. We've experienced highs, lows, Philly fans, you know, a lot of lows that come with a lot of the high buildup. If a Ben Simmons, not led, but a Ben Simmons team were to knock out a true Philly title contender, is that...
Yeah, it would hurt. It would hurt.
That, like, that could be the lowest of those lows, right?
Yes and no, right?
Like if he let's just play this hypothetical. He tweets the big Fendi, like, I go to my biggest enemy's funeral.
Gilbert Arenas said the same thing. Like, Joel Embiid should watch what he says, because, and that's why I'm saying, like, yes and no. Because it would suck, because fuck him, right? The reason why it wouldn't hurt that bad is because we're not losing to Ben Simmons and the Funky Bunch.
Right, right.
Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
But that's where it came to my
mind. If you play a competitive... Though.
Like, it
yeah,
could
for
happen.
Sure. If they make it out of the play-in tournament, like, yeah, you can't hang your head losing a 7-game series to Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving at any time. If it's Ben Simmons in the funk, like, if you replace Ben Simmons with Trae Young last year, and that's the team that beat us, you're on watch.
Yeah.
You're on watch.
No, but I still think it would be something. That's for sure.
I don't want to find out.
Okay, I now have a new rooting interest in this year's NBA festivities. I swear, I'm going to become the biggest Ben fan ever. I cannot wait. As long as
I was for years.
If he's in the building on March 10th, I will literally, he will become one of my favorite players.
And if he's in the building on March 10th, on the court, I need him on the court. I told him, all is forgiven. Shake hands and we can go our separate ways. I'll wish him the best of luck in Brooklyn.
That's a lie, though.
Swear to God.
Because you'll still hope that he crumbles in the playoffs.
Yeah, but I won't hold... Yeah, well, I do that for a lot of people that I don't have, like, any personal vendetta for. Like, that's two separate things. Like, I genuinely won't hold over his head him being a fucking bitch coward, and I'll just let him go about his business. I'll root against him as hard as I can. But if he plays March 10th, all is forgiven.
Oh, that will be unbelievable.
By the way, I looked at those tickets today that you bought. I think it's like at 4x what you got it right now.
It's crazy. You know what I should be doing is I should be leaking that he is going to play, driving the prices up, and then be dumping them.
Speaking of which, I wanted to look into a little bit of insider trading on behalf of Governor Adams.
Ooh.
Are you telling me he didn't place any Nets futures before announcing that? Because that price dropped. Went from 600 to 550. When Kyrie and the... I just want to see his bet slips. Like, yeah. If there's, there could be...
Politicians, you have to share their stock buys.
Not necessarily. I think we all know that. I was going to say, is there any rules against politicians in sports gambling?
I don't know.
It's genius. If I was a governor of a state, dude, you know how many fucking mask mandates I would impose just to cash in on a little extra cents on a money line so somebody can't play? It's genius.
That's why you're not a governor. Eagleson, you're the governor of this podcast, so you hop in here and tell me which one of these is the best option. Well, before I give it to the fam, why don't you tell me who's going to win tonight?
Well, do you want like player props, like from underdog, or what? No. What are you looking for?
Are you asking Jack? Are you asking Eagleson for betting advice?
I want to hear where
I went 3-for-4 last night with my player props on underdog, 75%. What'd you guys call
zero?
Didn't you guys call yourselves the best handicappers in the country every time that would happen in football?
We didn't call it. We are. So.
Oh yeah, we are
in the making. Maybe for hockey.
Wait, so you lost your bet?
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Right.
So don't talk
75%.
Shit. Facts. I can't knock you there.
So I said, all right, you beautiful people, give me the upset of the night and throw a goal scorer in there. Brady upset. Dern. Shout out Brady Dern, who said Embiid, 45 points.
Facts.
What?
Facts.
What? All right. I'm seeing some Winnipeg? Common themes here, but let's hear from you, Eagleson. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games, so slim pickings.
I think that you should pick total up the votes, and then whichever underdog of the night out of the five didn't get the most responses, go with that.
Take
one.
Them.
Yeah,
it's probably fair, but I told you everyone was on the Jackets last night and they won an OT. I mean,
market
take advantage of the Leafs, but
game is bullshit.
All right, give it to me.
I would say Winnipeg and goal scorer Stamkos against the Oilers.
No, I won same game.
Same.
So you would have to pick the Winnipeg goal scorer.
Jeez. Could it be on Dallas as well, or it has to be from Winnipeg? Because they're playing.
I mean,
Dallas.
we're trying to correlate here. You know what I mean?
Pierre-Luc Dubois. I don't know. They don't have the greatest goal scorers,
so it's probably not a great pick.
No, there's, I mean, I wish there was better underdogs playing tonight. The only other ones are Arizona. They're garbage.
Flyers, they're usually an underdog.
Nah,
they're
on a 6-game losing streak.
People,
Flyers.
Yeah, a few people had the Flyers, but they lost 4-1. So.
Yeah,
they're doing.
All right, so this is what people are saying. One guy likes the Oilers over the Lightning and McFraud to score.
Oh, I like Montreal. A home dog?
They're favorites now, -115.
Oh, I'm just looking at how many points they have.
I'll give you the most common two, Eagleson, and you let me know. And I like them because they're juicy. People like the Yotes and they like the Red Wings at home.
Okay, so I don't like the Yotes, but the Red Wings one's actually interesting. I was kind of thinking about
Yotes.
That was going to be
my pick. They're literally the worst team in the league.
And
the Red Wings,
everyone loves them, and Eagleson hates them.
They're not a real team.
All right, how do you feel about this? Coyotes and Keller to score. Is Keller on the Yotes?
Yeah, Keller's on the Yotes. He's actually good. I wouldn't be surprised if he scores, but I can't. It's hard to take them.
Lock it in. Lock it in.
I'm locking it in. I'm locking it. I mean, I have to. Colton. Let's go, Colton. All right, Clayton. Colton. This is what I'm taking. I got to post it. This is what. Let's go, Yotes. This is literally the second worst team in the league.
They're awful. They're literally
but the
playing
Kings
in a
aren't
5,
that
000.
Good. Quick's 13-10-6.
The Kings are better.
Okay, I'm pretty sure a minute's expired.
Hold on, I gotta find who was the player we just picked?
Clayton Keller to score.
Clayton Keller. All right, you think he scores twice?
I don't know.
Oh, he's the number one favorite to score.
He's on a 3-game goal streak as well. So
he's hot. All right, we're in for the Yotes and Clayton Keller to score. Did you want a full minute on hockey? What did you want from us?
I mean, I've definitely got stuff to talk about, but I'm not sure if you've had enough hockey in the last 72 hours.
I've had plenty. All right, Eagleson, you know the deal. Puck drops. 3, 2, 1.
All right, so my Leafs have had a tough few games, losing 5-2 to Montreal, then losing 4-3 to Columbus in overtime the night after. Fun fact, actually, those two are the last two teams to knock Toronto out of the playoffs in the first round. Obviously, that's not good. Montreal's the worst team in the league. Columbus isn't very good either. So I'm sure Toronto's going to be busy on deadline day. Expect them to bring in another goalie, maybe a winger with some sandpaper. And now with Muzzin's injury, they'll definitely need to bring in another defenseman. It could be a blessing in disguise, though, because if they can put Muzzin on long-term injury reserve, we can do what Tampa did the past few years, and we can have a lot more cap space to work with at the deadline. The Caps have won 2 in a row. They've been playing well recently. Ovi has dropped to 4th in the league in goals scored total, though, with 31. Matthews has kind of jumped ahead of them. The Flyers, they've definitely continued to disappoint, currently on a 6-game losing streak, losing 4-1 to the Blues last night. You know, they've lost me money, and they've looked really bad doing it. Last but not least, everyone's favorite World Juniors tournament has been rescheduled for August, and with the few round-robin games that were played in the winter, they'll get replayed. That's not going to count. And yeah, we'll get some fun summer hockey and...
All right, Jack, before we bring him back in, let's try and play our word game ourselves. If you were going to take your best stab at what a winger with sandpaper means, what would you say?
Winger with sandpaper.
He's a wing.
Obviously a winger, an offensive player, and the sandpaper reference, sandpaper.
I think he's like
a grinder.
I think he's like a tough, like enforcer.
See, I'm actually gonna say it has more to do with like how they tape their stick, like it's rough and they score like dirty goals or something.
Mm-mm. Nah, not that. Winger with sandpaper. So sandpaper is scratchy.
Yeah, it is.
Right?
It's nasty.
So I think of it's a scrappy like defensive, not defensive minded wing, maybe an enforcer, like a goon with Shawn Michael Evans or whatever.
I don't think that's the player that really puts you over the top. You need like a vet, a grizzly vet who's going to come in
gritty,
and have
like,
experience.
Need, like I think a winger with sandpaper is like a Udonis Haslam.
No, I disagree. I think it's an actual person that scores goals and contributes. Doesn't score a lot in the regular season, but comes
up big
in the
playoffs. So
give me
the NBA player comp for a winger with sandpaper.
But I would say like a PJ Tucker. Like
I was thinking him
like
too.
Like timely, ferocious, like could be on the buyout market, could go for a second round pick, but like could play a huge part in a playoff run.
I like that. Okay.
Yeah. All right, Eagleson.
I think we're aligned, just pick two different players. All right, Eagleson, what the fuck is a winger with sandpaper?
You guys were pretty much there. It's just like a winger who will go into the corners. He plays scrappy, like you guys said. And yeah, like Jack was right on that. He does score a little bit more. Dirty goals, gets in front of the net, block shots too. Guy like that.
So it's a player that maybe in free agency in the offseason that somebody signs on a regular team is just like, oh, whatever. But like for a contending team that needs one more piece, it's like this guy could put us over the top.
Yeah, like I was thinking a guy with like maybe a bit more pedigree than that, like a little bit better. But yeah, essentially that. Like a Matthew Tkachuk. I'm not sure if you guys have ever heard of him. He's a perfect example.
Who?
Matthew
Tkachuk. No.
Where does he play?
Calgary.
Jack, shut up.
Calgary?
Yeah.
Is he going to score tonight?
Give us a couple more wingers with sandpaper that are on the market.
On the market.
Why do we care?
I mean, I was looking at him like a guy like Mason Marchment. He's on Florida. He actually came.
Wait. Why are you asking this, Jack?
Just curious.
You don't know any of these names.
I mean, if hockey playoff comes around and we need to make some money, you got to be prepared for the sandpaper, Abe. I'm a grinder. I don't know what to tell you. You're all pretty, going on vacations for your birthday. I'm grinding.
You were just in the Bahamas.
That was months ago.
And
that
then Vegas, and then LA.
And I was grinding.
You posted a picture drinking a glass of wine on Instagram. And you're talking about pretty.
When?
Yesterday. Your Cleveland post. Guess it was the Channing Frye party?
Yeah.
You posted a candid with a big glass of wine. Actually, like shit LeBron does. If you want to talk pretty boy.
Well, I was with Channing Frye, so, you know. We're both the same in that regard. Grinding.
I think the Sixers need a wing sandpaper.
Winger with sandpaper? Sandpaper
wing on the buyout market.
Yeah. Like a Lance Stevenson type would fit you guys well.
He's not really sandpaper.
Yeah, he is.
Like a Nazem Kadri.
Yeah, like a Nazem Kadri.
Yeah, like a Nazem Kadri. All right.
It sounds like a fucking like nasal congestion disease.
Eagle Sim, final thoughts?
Go Leafs. I still believe in you. I'm all in.
Hey.
Jack, we're just two podcasters with sandpaper, baby.
Keep grinding, fam. Have a great weekend.
And if you notice that there's a slightly less hockey post on the Snapback Sports page tomorrow and so forth, that means that Jack has moved his available gambling funds into other sports.
Snapback fam, much love. Peace.